Chapter 90. Lends it alone for their foregathering. So, why exists it not in your hands? Nay, my reason, sire, was rolling from my tongue. Hard on the boom of guns, dim files of foot which read to me like massing Englishry the vanguard of all Wellington's array I half discerned. So, in pure wariness, I left the Bocellu columns there at Frasnes, and hastened back to tell you. Napoleon, nay, oh nay, I fear you are not the man that once you were, of your so daring, such a faint heart now. I have ground to know the foot that flustered you were but a few stray groups of Netherlanders, for my good spies in Brussels send me cue that up to now the English have not stirred, but cloy themselves with nightly revel there. Nay, bitterly, give me another opportunity before you speak like that. Napoleon, you soon will have one. But now no more of this. I have other glooms upon my soul, the much disquieting news that Bourmont has deserted to our foes with his whole staff. Nay, we can afford to let him. Napoleon, it is what such bedekins, not their worth, that wets it. Love, respect for me, have waned, but I will write that. We've good chances still. You must return foot hot to Quatre Bras. There Kellerman's cuirassiers will promptly join you to bear the English backward Brussels way. I go on towards Fleurus and Ligny now. If Blücher's force retreat, and Wellington's lie somnolent in Brussels one day more, I gain that city sans a single shot. Now, friend, downstairs you will find some supper ready, which you must tuck in sharply, and then off. The past day has not ill-advantaged us. We have stolen upon the two chiefs unawares, and in such sights, that they must fight apart. Now for a 2 hours' rest. Comrade, adieu until tomorrow. Nay, till tomorrow, sire.
Exit nay. Napoleon falls asleep, and the secretary waits till dictation shall be resumed. Bussy, the orderly officer, comes to the door. Bussy, letters arrived from Paris. Hands letters.
Secretary, he shall have them the moment he awakes. These 18 hours he's been astride, and is not what he was. Much news from Paris? Bussy, I can only say, what's not the news? The courier has just told me he'd nothing from the Empress at Vienna to bring his majesty. She writes no more. Secretary, and never will again. In my regard, that bird's forsook the nest for good and all. Bussy, all that they hear in Paris from her court is through our spies there. One of them reports this rumor of her, that the Archduke John, in taking leave to join our enemies here, said, oh, my poor Louis, I am grieved for you, and what I hope is, that he'll be run through, or shot, or break his neck, for your own good no less than ours.
Napoleon, waking, by e denoting me?
Bussy, starting, just so, your majesty.
Napoleon, peremptorily, what said the Empress?
Bussy, she gave no answer, sire, that rumor bears.
Napoleon, Count Nieberg, whom they have made her chamberlain, interred his wife last spring, is it not so?
Bussy, he did, your majesty.
Napoleon, H'M. You may go.
Exit Bussy. The secretary reads letters aloud in succession. He comes to the last, begins it, reaches a phrase, and stops abruptly.
Mind not. Read on. No doubt the usual threat, or prophecy, from some mad scribe. Who signs it?
Secretary, the subscript is the Duke of Enghien.
Napoleon, starting up, bah, man. A treacherous trick. A hoax no more. Is that the last?
Secretary, the last, your majesty.
Napoleon, then now I'll sleep. In 2 hours of me called.
Secretary, I'll give the order, sire.
The secretary goes. The candles are removed, except one, and Napoleon endeavors to compose himself.
Spirit ironic, a little moral panorama would do him no harm, after that reminder of the Duke of Enghien. Shall it be, young compassion?
Spirit of the pities, what good, if that old ears tells us be true? But I say not. To ordain is not for me.
Thereupon a vision passes before Napoleon as he lies,
comprising hundreds of thousands of skeletons and corpses in various stages of decay. They rise from his various battlefields, the flesh dropping from them, and gaze reproachfully at him. His intimate officers who have been slain he recognizes among the crowd. In front is the Duke of Enghien as showman.
Napoleon, in his sleep, why should this reproach be dealt me now? Why hold me my own master, if I be ruled by the pitiless planet of destiny?
He jumps up in a sweat, and puts out the last candle, and the scene is curtained by darkness.
Scene IV, a chamber overlooking the main street in Brussels,
a June sunrise, the beams struggling through the window curtains. A canopied bed in a recess on the left. The quick notes of Brighton Camp, or Year I've Left Behind Me, strike sharply into the room from fifes and drums without. A young lady in a dressing gown, who has evidently been awaiting the sound, springs from the bed like a hare from its form, undraws window curtains and opens the window. Columns of British soldiery are marching past from the park southward out of the city by the Namur Gate. The windows of other houses in the street rattle open, and become full of gazers. A tap at the door. An older lady enters, and comes up to the first.
Younger lady, turning, "Oh mama, I didn't hear you."
Elder lady, "I was sound asleep till the thumping of the drums set me fantastically dreaming, and when I awoke I found they were real. Did they wake you too, my dear?"
Younger lady, reluctantly, "I didn't require waking. I hadn't slept since we came home."
Elder lady, "That was from the excitement of the ball. There are dark rings round your eye."
The fifes and drums are now opposite, and thrill the air in the room.
"Ah, that Earl I've left behind me, which so many thousands of women have throbbed an accompaniment to, and will again today, if ever they did."
Younger lady, her voice faltering, "It is rather cruel to say that just now, mama. There, I can't look at them after it."
She turns and wipes her eyes.
Elder lady, "I wasn't thinking of ourselves, certainly not of you. How they press on with those great knapsacks and firelocks, and, I am told, 56 rounds of ball cartridge, and 4 days' provisions in those haversacks. How can they carry it all near 20 miles and fight with it on their shoulders?"
"Dot, don't cry, dear. I thought you would get sentimental last night over somebody. I ought to have brought you home sooner. How many dances did you have? It was impossible for me to look after you in the excitement of the war tidings."
Younger lady, "Only 3-4.
Elder lady, "Which were they?"
Younger lady, "Enrico, the Apenhagen Waltz and the Anaverian, and the Prime of Life."
Elder lady, "Gutenberg edition. End of chapter."